and welcome to the Jim Baker Family Show. Coming to you from the village of Morningside, USA, snuggled in the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Today, our special guest is the president of Harvest International Ministries, Pastor Che On. Our co-host today is Mondo De La Vega. And I'm Tammy Sue Baker. And now, direct from Grace Street at Morningside, USA, here's your host, Pastors Jim and Lori Baker.
Thank you, Tammy Sue.
Yeah, thank you. Honey.
Welcome, Dr. Che On.
Yeah. Oh, not to be here. Pastor
we are
Jim.
Thrilled to have you here.
An honor.
Dr. Che is the president of Harvest International Ministries, a global apostolic network in over 65 nations.
Wow.
Che and his wife, Sue, are the senior pastors of Harvest Rock Church, a great church in Pasadena, California.
There you guys are.
Oh, sweet picture.
Welcome back to our program. You've been on it through Skyping before, but this is the first time I think you've been here in the studio.
Right. No, this is the first time. What an honor. The first time I've seen this incredible structure, and it's like an oasis here in the middle of nowhere in Bronson, Missouri. It's such a beautiful place.
Oh, thank you. I was at your church. Do you remember the year it was?
Well, our church started in 1994.
Uh-huh.
And so it was around a year after our church started. So it was either end of 94 or 95.
Wow. Yes.
When we invite you to come and speak.
I had just gotten out of prison. I can't imagine you're one of the first people that invited me. And I don't know why I went, because I was shaking in my boots to go anywhere.
Well, I read your book. I was wrong. Mm-hmm. And I could not put it down. Honestly, I read from beginning to the end, I picked up so much humility, brokenness, and I just felt like, you know, the Bible says the righteous fall seven times, but they get right back up again because of the grace of God.
Yeah.
And I saw the grace of God in your life and what the Lord had done. And we wanted to have you come and share and impart to us the love and kindness of God that you experienced.
You have a wonderful church in Pasadena. Do you ever go to the Rose Bowl Parade?
Oh, yeah. We used to go every year. In fact, our building is where the Rose Bowl begins, so we actually get free tickets. So if you ever want, I'm talking about nice seats.
I've always wanted to go to the Rose Bowl.
Have a little vacation, and then you could have seats.
You have nice seats.
That would be wonderful.
Honestly, we get 14 seats every year. And so we'd love to have your family come out, and then you could preach for us on Sunday that weekend.
That would be the joy.
It's a deal.
Cousin Marge has gone to be with the Lord.
She just went
Margie
home.
Was home.
No, you got to bring your
94,
kids.
She was 94, and we always wanted to go to the Rose
Bowl. Pasadena. She's that little old lady from Pasadena. She was an amazing school teacher. She was
a mighty woman of God.
She was the almost matriarch of our family because she lived to be older than anybody else.
Yes.
And she was so wonderful, and she was from Pasadena.
Yes.
I love Pasadena. It's just a beautiful place.
It is. It's a very unique city because the people who built it were from the Midwest. It's not like typical L.A.
That's true.
And the reason why is that Huntington, who has the Huntington Library there, but he was a railroad magnate, and he wanted to have a house during the wintertime to get out of Chicago. So he built the first line from Chicago to Pasadena, and he built his mansion there. And then Wrigley, the famous chewing gum magnate, built his house, which is now the Terminal Rose building. So you have what's called Millionaire's Row, and our building is right there. It's one of the most expensive property in the Pasadena area, and arguably even in L.A. because of these mansions that are there. And so the Lord, by God's grace, gave us this $38 million building for $13 million in 2004.
Oh,
and
my.
It's just the favor of God. We give him all the praise and all the glory.
God has really blessed your church.
Well, we just try to honor him. You know, and the Bible says in 2 Samuel, whoever honors me, I will honor. Maybe it's in 1 Samuel, but it's a key verse to really honor God.
Absolutely.
And you've been doing that. And it's amazing how he's honored you. And we're just talking about how you're the example of someone who has experienced the grace of God and the kindness of God. Because you not only, a lot of people who may have stepped aside from ministry, they don't go back. You know, God blesses them maybe in the marketplace, but you went right back into ministry, and look what the Lord's doing through you, reaching millions of people and building this incredible center for life. Mm-hmm. Lori, your house is amazing.
Yes.
And especially during this time, that Roe v. Wade has been overturned. And so we thank God for your ministry. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
We're so excited. We just had a baby born at Lori's house.
We did. Now we have 52. And I was just at Lori's house reunion a few days ago with all these precious moms and all these babies that are now toddlers and holding new babies and toddlers. So it's so exciting to see what God is doing in this moment, this hour, in the midst of it all.
You recently were at the 2022 National Prophet Summit in Minnesota.
Yeah. Yes.
Would you talk about that a minute? Was there a word there that stands out?
Well, it was amazing because a lot of young people who are emerging prophets, and they just asked some of the fathers, like Bishop Bill Hammond,
mm-hmm. yes.
who was one of the fathers of the prophetic movement, myself, Patricia yes. King, mm-hmm. to come and to have the two generations come together. And Elizabeth Tamfolk, who's the spiritual daughter, was the one who organized it. And so there were around 150 key leaders that gathered together by invitation only. Mm-hmm. And what came out of it is basically what we're sensing is that the Lord is saying that the shaking is going to continue, the darkness is going to continue, but in the midst of darkness, we're going to see great revival, great light.
Yeah.
And so it's really Haggai 2:7, mm-hmm. I'm going to shake all nations, they will come with the wealth of the nations, and I will fill this house with glory. And of course, verse 9 says the glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former.
That's right.
And so for those who are thinking that everything's just going to get better, just fasten your seatbelt because the shaking will continue. Mm-hmm. But the good news is that God will give us grace through this time of tribulation.
Amen. Yes.
And also that we win at the end.
We do. We do.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think of Revelation 11:15, the kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ.
That's right.
And he will reign forever and ever, and we're going to reign with him.
Praise God.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Dr. Che, Harvest Rock Church and Harvest International Ministries, which includes multiple member churches, had to sue the state of California over the COVID-19 restrictions that were being imposed during the shutdown on the pandemic. And I want you to talk about that because we've been following it. We've been praying for your church.
Yes.
Everybody's watched it.
We've reported on it.
And I've warned the people that the enemy wants to close down the church.
Right.
And they did everything they could to close you down. That is strange. And this great church in Pasadena, California, you'd think they would be honoring you during a time of trouble, but instead they came for you.
No, Newsom knows, Governor Newsom, that the church has been vocal against his policies. You know, when he was mayor of San Francisco, he had a same-sex marriage prophetic ceremony. It wasn't legal at that time, but he just did that. And the ones who criticized him and said this is not even constitutionally legal was the church. And so when the lockdown happened, he said abortion clinics are essential, liquor stores are essential, marijuana dispensaries are essential. He even said a strip club in San Diego is essential to give some relief to the armed forces there, the Marines, but not the church. Of course, Costco was open and other grocery stores that were major chains were open. And so he said the church is not essential. So a group of pastors, including myself, sent him a letter with our signature saying, with all due respect, the church has been essential for 2,000 years. Where would our society be without the church? Where would the world be without the word of God and with his ecclesia, the church? And so we locked down initially because we didn't know what we're going through and we didn't know about COVID-19. And of course, our president at that time, President Trump, said 30 days of mitigation. And so we wanted to comply. But then after 30 days, we just said, you know what? The Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of the saints. What if we did this smart? We just told those with underlying conditions, stay home, the elderly to stay home. Mm-hmm. Then we would take people's temperatures coming in, have people wear masks, social distance them, and then we could still do church. And so we made a decision as pastors to do so. Mm-hmm. And so we opened up on May 31st, 2020, so really early on. And it was great. The presence of God came and people were being so ministered to. And of course, people were watching online. In fact, the majority of people still watched online.
Uh-huh.
But we still had around 400 people gathered for our service. And then what happened was that I knew I was going to get in trouble with the law. So I called Matt Staver of Liberty Council.
Right.
He was our attorney going back to the call days when I was involved in with Lou Engel organizing these stadium events. And so he was our attorney. And I said, Matt, we're going to open up. And I just want to be covered just in case I get in trouble with the law that you would represent us. Mm-hmm. He said something to me that was really profound. He said, can I just encourage you not only open up, but sue the governor? Because when you're in litigation, they cannot arrest you until the trial's over. And so that would buy you time. I felt it was like a word of wisdom. And I prayed about it. I actually didn't have to pray about it, but I did pray. It was like a no-brainer for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I met with the pastors. I met with the board because I have two organizations I'm accountable for, our pastors and then the HIM. And we have around 150 churches and ministries just in California alone.
Amazing.
And so I checked with the board and I said, you know what? We're going to sue Governor Newsom and I want you all to be part of the plaintiff. If it was just one church, I don't think we would have gotten the Supreme Court's attention because I've represented 150 churches and ministries in California. It went all the way to the Supreme Court. And by God's grace, they wanted to arrest me, but they didn't arrest me. And we won in February of 2021, 6-3 by the Supreme Court that it was unconstitutional to lock down the church.
Wow. God. They threatened to literally sue you with a fee that you would have to pay if you stayed in
the
pulpit.
Well, it wasn't just a fee. We sued July of 2020. The next month, August, I get a letter from our city district attorney. And she was new. She didn't really know me. She was just new on the job. And she said, we're going to arrest you. This is not a veiled threat. We're going to arrest you. We want to give you just a heads up so you'll be prepared for the arrest. We're going to fine your church members $1,000 per person since you've been meeting.
Everybody that came to your
everyone.
Church.
And of course, we're not going to ask them to pay, but we'll be the church paying millions of dollars in fines. And then the thing that was really, really egregious, that really got me upset, if I could say righteous anger, was that they said, we reserve to arrest your church members and your staff.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, these are law-abiding people who love Jesus, who simply want to worship Jesus. They don't have any criminal background. They want to arrest them. Yeah. And here's what we have come to, because Isaiah 5:20 says, woe to those who call good evil,
evil
good, darkness light, light dark. Newsom was allowing criminals, rapists, drug pushers out of prison for social distancing. So he's letting these prisoners out, and they want to arrest us and put us in prison. And I said, this is madness. It's insanity. And the first thing that came into my mind is, I said, because my dad was a prisoner of war in North Korea, I said, I'm not in North Korea. I'm in the United States of America.
Yes.
And so I'm so glad we fought and went all the way to the Supreme Court. And of course, even the Supreme Court sided with us and said, this is ridiculous. It's unconstitutional to arrest a pastor. They decided that in December of 2020. And then by February, they said it was unconstitutional to lock down the church. And then on April the 9th, the day of the Azusa Street anniversary, they said it was unconstitutional to even lock down Bible studies and prayer meetings in people's homes, which he had done.
Right.
So we give God all the glory and all the praise.
Yes, you know? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But you stood.
But this is, I just wanted you to hear this story from the man who lived through it, because this is what is happening all over the world. There's places in the world right now where they don't have freedom to go to church anymore.
Don't.
And the enemy wants to close the voice of the church.
That's right.
And we have the ministry, the voice of the prophets, and that network is going forth. And we're working hard to keep it on the air. They came for me, and the left came for me, and they came hard.
And
they sued me for everything they could figure out.
Sure.
And we had to go through courts, too.
Sure.
But we won them all. We won all the court cases, thank God.
Yes.
And it was tough. And it's still tough because we're still paying, you know, the fees of the lawyers. Lawyers cost a lot of money.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm glad you had some good, godly lawyers
good
in your team.
On top of it, the icing on the cake, my attorney won a $1.3 million settlement. Newsom had to pay our attorney $1.3 million, and it covered all the fees, legal fees.
The attorney
fees. Not only that, but we were, as a church, giving tens of thousands of dollars because even though he did it pro bono, we told him that, you know, you're representing us and we're going to be receiving offerings just to help with the legal bill. The moment he got the check, he took a picture of it, texted it to me. Mm-hmm. He said, Pastor Trey, be totally released. You don't have to send me any more offerings. And so we indirectly saved thousands of dollars by winning that lawsuit.
What a miracle.
It's, yeah.
But
it
that
is.
That was a difficult time.
It was a difficult time.
What did it feel like, like you and your wife at night when you go to bed sometimes? You say, well, my Lord, we're facing going to prison.
Well, it wasn't just Governor Newsom. The moment we sued, the media came after me like you. I was on NBC, CBS. I was on NBC Today Show, Los Angeles version.
Yeah.
And here's how the interview started. They say, you call yourself a pastor, you're to love your people. And I said, yes, that's true. But how could you say that when you're killing your people? Don't you feel you're being selfish?
Oh.
So that's the angle they came at, that I'm killing people by opening up. And I said, with all due respect, we haven't killed anyone. But not only that, we love them, not just physically, but we love them spiritually. We want them to go to heaven.
Yeah.
We love them emotionally, mentally. Depression is off the charts. They need to come and be encouraged. And they need the presence of God. They need to experience worship. But they cut all that out. I even share the gospel.
Of course.
And they cut all that out. They just show that I'm selfish. I'm killing my people. And so that's the left. You can't, I mean, it is fake news. You can't
That's heartbreaking.
Whatever they tell you, just believe the opposite.
That's
because
right.
That's really the answer to
the truth.
Thank
the media
God
today.
He looks in our hearts.
Yeah, yes.
The
but anyway,
judges.
I forgave them. I shared the gospel with them, and I realized, you know what? They're lost.
Yes.
You know, Satan has blinded the eyes of unbelievers in 2 Corinthians 4:4, and they just don't see.
That's
they just
right.
see from their humanistic ideology, their socialism. They're really, in California, it's like neo-Marxism.
Oh.
There is communism coming back.
It's
really?
Yeah, I really believe that.
We have your book today. Yes. I'm introducing your book. Is this a fairly new book for you?
Yeah, it is my 15th book.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and so, but I feel maybe the most significant book because of the timing.
The whole
of
story you just told, that story is even in more so in this book.
Right, it's just part of the introduction.
It is.
But I just share about how this turning our nation back to God through historic revival.
Mm-hmm.
And
Christian ought to read this book. You ought to read this book, and pastors ought to read it. And what he's been through, they have planned for all of you. And they beat us down. They lie about us. And that's what the Bible predicts in the last days. People will betray one another.
Right.
But this is his book and his story.
That's right.
And it's about turning our nation back to God.
So many great men and women of God have endorsed this book. Some of our dear friends like Cindy Jacobs, we all know. Cindy was the one who turned to me and prophesied over me and said, you're to build Lori's house to save unwed mothers and their babies from being aborted. Lori, you have to do this. And I was like, gosh, Cindy. You know, when Cindy tells you that, understand. So Cindy endorses your book. Samuel Rodriguez, Dr. Jim Garlow, we love him. He's so amazing, so intelligent, so mighty man of God. David Barton, Lance Wall now. I mean, I can go on and on. Mario Murillo. And you know who I found very fascinating, which I was so excited to see this one right here? Our senator here locally in the state of Missouri, Josh Hawley.
Yes.
And I loved what Josh said. I loved it. I love that he stood strong. He said, God has dreams for America that aren't fulfilled yet. The best is yet to come because we serve a king who is on the throne and his kingdom is advancing. That's our senator people right here. Yeah. If you live in Missouri. He's a young man.
He spoke at our church. We had him speak on a Sunday morning, and it was just awesome to have a spirit-filled believer as one of our senators this country.
That's right.
Lori, the foreword of this book,
mm-hmm.
if you'll see it, it's written up here,
mm-hmm.
is by Eric
Metaxas.
Am I saying that right?
Yeah, Metaxas, yes.
Metaxas. He's an amazing...
You got to have him on this show.
Yeah, I
would
wanted
you
to have
help
him
me
on.
Get
I
him?
Will. I'm going to be on his show in October again. I've been on it several times.
Oh, he has a show?
He has a daily radio yes. show, but he tapes it and goes on TBN.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has an hour or half an hour once a week on TBN. So so you could watch it on YouTube, or I don't know. I think it got banned in YouTube, I think.
Yeah,
and
a lot of people.
So you have to go to Rumble or some other ones. Yeah.
Rumble, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a badge of honor, by the way. but this man has written book
Bonhoeffer.
By Bonhoeffer.
Best-selling book on Bonhoeffer, sold over a million copies. But my favorite one is Amazing Grace, about the story of William Wilberforce, because he was part of the Great Awakening. He was the one that really fought through Parliament to end the Slave Trade Act, which got passed in 1807, but to have abolishment of slavery altogether by 1833. All of British Empire declared emancipation because of his tireless work. And then he went home to be with the Lord 3 days after that was passed through Parliament.
It's really something.
Yeah, it is. He was a reformer. And the reason why I feel that he is so significant to read at this time is because we're seeing the same thing with the abortion.
Yeah.
For the first time after 49 years contending, praying, fasting, we met in stadiums to end Roe v. Wade.
Yeah.
And yet now with the passage of the Dobbs case in June 24th of this past year, Roe's been overturned.
Right.
And so this, to me, is the injustice of our generation. Slavery was the injustice of course, in our nation and in Great Britain. But for me, killing of innocent lives, 633 million, of course, you're so pro-life, and you have incredible pro-life ministry. We want to partner with you, by the way, in Laurie's house. But it is amazing how things have shifted in our nation, that we're seeing signs of transformation as well.
Well,
in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of all the terrible things are going on right now, and yet we see this incredible passage of the Dobbs case winning and Roe being overturned.
I'd never thought in my lifetime actually I would see it, to be honest with you, Pastor Chuck.
Well, we were hoping in our lifetime.
We were hoping, but I'd never really, we believed it, but I never really thought it would happen. And I saw a lot of pastors saying the same thing, you know, online. But it did, like you said, in the midst of the dark, it was, and what a great day. But now we have to stand and fight for the other states. That now it's state to state,
exactly,
like California.
Yeah, California is the number one abortion state because we have 40 million people, and not only that, but they're trying to pass something called Proposition 1. And for those who are watching, vote no on Proposition 1, which will legalize and codify abortion into the state constitution.
Right.
And And this is so egregious because you could abort a baby to the last day of the ninth month. And if you decide after the baby's born that, you know, you want to kill the baby, it's infanticide. It's crazy. On top of that, they want to make our state an abortion sanctuary state.
Right.
So if you're from Florida or Missouri or Texas, you want to have an abortion, they will pay for your travel, your lodging, and your abortion at our tax money. We're talking about the taxes I pay will go into out-of-state abortion, which is so demonic,
it's
evil.
Totally.
And so we have to say no to Proposition 1 that's going to be voted in this midterm.
California's been a blessed state. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful place. But I believe if we do not stop wholesale murder of our babies, God's judgment's coming to different places.
I just pray people
will turn back
California,
to God.
Just think about it. 1/4 of all the dollars that we're the richest state, but it's going to social service.
Wow.
We have the half of the whole nation's homeless in California. There's around 500,000, 250,000 are in California.
Okay, hold on. Okay, let's get this straight, Mondo. Okay, help me. You just said half.
Of the U.S.
U.S. homeless.
Yes.
Is in California.
Yes.
Wow.
Because they know that they're going to get on welfare, they're going to get social service, they're going to get help. And so we're the number one tax state as a result. We pay the highest gas.
Yes.
And so we're seeing a million people moving out of California every year. For the first time, our population went down from 40 to 39 million. Which says people are moving there all the time, but more people are now leaving than people have moved in. Mm-hmm. And so we're seeing that. And then the judgment to me is that we've been in a severe drought ever since Newsom has been governor.
You really
We just don't have rain. And so we have the fires that have been well documented, you know, the Camp Fires, for example, a couple years ago. We've had record heat even just recently.
I've been checking your weather because we have so many friends.
And
you know,
here's
in
what our governor's saying. He says, don't use your electricity from 4 to 7, the hottest time of the day.
Yeah.
Don't even charge your car, which is ridiculous because
you're talking about your electric cars, right? Your EVs.
Yeah. So he's pushing electric cars and then controlling them by saying, we have a heat wave. Don't turn on the battery because you're going to spend more. It's like a third world we're living in. So you talk about in the richest state, the richest nation of the world, we're like in some developing nation with blackouts taking place.
So you live there, and you're a pastor there, and you're telling this. We're hearing this straight. This isn't just news reports. You're hearing Mondo, even though we fact-check all of our news. I'm just saying, isn't this something to hear, Jim?
Yeah, it's extreme heat.
It's extreme heat,
And the governor, I just saw him on the news this week telling his people to don't use major appliances, which is your ovens and all. Don't use those because problem. And he said,
it's so bad. It's just like when President Biden said right before Thanksgiving, we will have enough food for you to celebrate Thanksgiving. When was the last time a president had to assure people that we would have? It's gone that bad. He has to encourage and assure people that we're going to have enough food because of the inflation, because the trucks that bring in food are just, they can't even afford the gas, a lot of the independent truck drivers. And so it's just gone so ridiculous under this administration that we need revival.
Yes,
that's why I wrote this book. We need historic revival to turn our nation around.
Yes.
We have a report from CBN about this extreme weather.
Let's look at that.
California officials issued an emergency warning Tuesday as demand for electricity reaches an all-time high due to excessive heat gripping much of the state. A brutal heat wave has been smothering California for weeks, pushing the state to the brink of blackouts.
Look what happened yesterday. All of these high temperatures broke the daily high temperatures in Fresno, Bakersfield, Reno, and in Elko, Nevada.
The state capital of Sacramento tied a record Tuesday with its 41st day of temperatures reaching at least 100 degrees.
We seem to always just make it through. We have our little tricks to keep cool. Everybody does.
Governor Gavin Newsom warns it will get worse in the days ahead and is urging residents to conserve energy.
Run your air conditioning earlier in the day when more power is available. And we encourage you to close your windows and blinds to keep your home cool as well. Please turn your thermostat up to 78 degrees or higher and avoid, to the extent possible, using any really large appliances.
The heat is also fueling deadly wildfires. The Fairview Fire in Southern California has scorched some 2,000 acres, killing two. At least 1,500 households were forced to evacuate as the fire rages over the hillsides, with flames destroying everything in its path. Meanwhile, on the East Coast, heavy rains bringing flooding to some states. On I-95 in Rhode Island, more than 4 inches of rain fell in a short amount of time. And in Providence, this building collapsed from the storm. And the 2022 hurricane season is starting to pick up steam. Forecasters are tracking 4 storms in the Atlantic. 2 are hurricanes, but so far, none are predicted to make landfall. It's been a quiet hurricane season so far. For the first time in 25 years, there were no named storms in the Atlantic in August. However, September is considered peak season, and a tropical storm formed on the very first day of the month.
So you're experiencing that heat wave where you are.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, it's really interesting because we all quote 2 Chronicles 7:14. Mm-hmm. If my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sins, heal their land. But 2 Chronicles 7:13 says, when I withhold rain, when I send a plague, when I release the locusts, then when you see that, if my people will humble themselves and pray. And so we have not had rain in all these years, and that's why, you know, really begins with the church humbling themselves, and the church in California is asleep. Mm. Pastor Jim, I hate to say this. I wish I could give, but it's like we have this bad eschatology, this bad theology that things are going to get worse and worse, and then Jesus will rapture us out, and then we'll go through the tribulation. And I don't believe that. We've been going through tribulation for 2,000 years. Jesus said through much tribulation. Paul said that in Acts 14, through much tribulation we'll enter the kingdom. And in this world, Jesus said, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And so what I'm saying is that there's always going to be shaking, and we have to see as believers, that's God's discipline. Whom he loves, he disciplines, right?
Yeah.
And so we need to just repent and humble ourselves before the Lord and ask for mercy for our nation.
Yeah.
And that's why I wrote this book, is because I believe the answer is a historic revival that will transform lives and transform our society.
Amen.
That's right.
Order the book right now. You can call me, toll free, 1-888-988-1588, and order your book for a gift of $30, or you could get your friends and family offer and share.
Absolutely.
We always like sharing books. You all are missionaries that watch our program.
That's right. Oh, you can get three books for $70 and share with people so they can help everybody understand, of course, what's going on and what we can do to get back to what we really need is a revival. And your teaching on the past revivals is so rich. It's so dynamic. It's excellent. Because if you've ever been in any kind of Bible school or any kind of study, you study these types of things. But not everybody gets that opportunity.
Right.
Well, I know we've been reading so much about famine all over the world. Mm-hmm. And we've had men and pastors from all over the world tell us about how awful these things are in their countries.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? I mean, there's food shortages taking place, and they say by this fall it is going to be. And they're talking about things like beef not even being available.
No.
Right now, they say they're predicting the price of steak go to $50 a pound.
Blew me away.
I got a piece I want you to watch about famine is coming. And then I've got a shocking report to give you right after this. Let's watch this. We are in the Revelation days, and the Revelation days, many of them are famine days.
Yeah.
Mm.
The four horses of the apocalypse. One of those horses is famine.
Yes.
Wow.
So I want everyone to order the food today. We have just a short time with you on this broadcast. We have the survival food in stock now. We have 1,000 buckets a month that we can get.
Yes.
This same bucket that we're offering today, this is the Prepared Pantry 60 mil bucket, is currently retailing for over $250. That doesn't even include shipping and handling. Each bucket comes with 13 varieties of food.
That's right. 13 varieties. This is a 60 mil bucket. And you can see
That's
beautiful
right.
food. And we prepared today to show
Name
you.
Name them some of the foods. What is this black bean burger?
Absolutely.
I helped produce that years ago.
You did.
And I wanted to make hamburger
hearty,
out of black beans.
That's right. And not just burgers, but you can take that meat and crumble it up and use it for tacos or burritos. Or, I mean, whatever you have, you just put it all together and use the black bean burger mix.
And that's what I love. Mom, we've always kept these in our pantry.
We
keep these in our pantry.
That's
we can go in there. We can just grab a pouch and incorporate it even into our food.
You can
make
a meatloaf out of it.
Yes. We sure. Remember when Ricky did
that
years ago, honey? I mean, we were on the road literally traveling, and Ricky pulls out one of these, and he makes a packet, a Mylar packet, with the black bean burger, and he made this beautiful meatloaf for the four of us
and
one
then
night.
And then the buttermilk pancakes.
Yes.
As good a pancakes as anyone's in the world.
So good. Look at them. They're beautiful. And next to that is the maple brown sugar oatmeal.
Yes.
That great, you know, that the thing about oatmeal, it's hearty.
Yes.
It fills you up. You know, that's why so many eat oatmeal. So you have that on the side over here just for a little snack.
Yes.
You have the sweetened banana chips. So yummy.
Did you guys get a picture?
There they are. They're
the best snacks.
Your kids love those.
Oh, absolutely.
Next to this, you see this is beautiful Morning Moose milk. It is a standalone on its own, right?
Yes.
Everyone
that's
loves it. Tastes better than regular milk. Right here in front of me, I have a strawberry flavored creamy wheat. Look how beautiful. And this is a huge
cream
of wheat.
Bowl. Right. It's the creamy
wow.
wheat. Right. And in front of you, honey?
I have the hearty vegetable chicken flavored soup.
Yeah.
And all these soups are so thick and rich, mm-hmm. you can make probably five times that amount in soup.
Yeah.
Because that is like a stew. That's more
yes.
than a stew,
right.
isn't it?
Well, and that's something you can extend it by just mm-hmm. adding water. So based on your family's need, you yeah. can expand that and add water to mm-hmm. it. You can make it hearty. So we wanted to choose these recipes, Dad, because these are things that in times of need, you want to feel full. You yes. you want to have hearty meals mm-hmm. that you can
substance.
Have available. That's
mm-hmm.
right.
Now, all of these, like if you have a garden,
yes.
you can add things to them.
Sure. Absolutely.
And that's why we want everybody to have seeds at home.
Yes.
Plant your gardens. You know, like Spanish rice. Did
Look
you have
that.
Spanish
oh,
rice?
I
yes.
still
yes.
have it now.
Do you?
It's so good.
Well, I mean,
it
you
is?
Could add,
yeah.
well, you could add stuff
seeds.
To
yeah,
Spanish
you can add
rice.
Tomatoes, cilantro.
Oh, yeah.
Jalapenos. You can add onions. Yeah. You can add whatever you want. Just be creative.
And
hey.
We have like creamy potato soup.
Yeah.
So good.
And that
I
will,
love
that'll
that.
Make, you know. The gallons of soup.
Yes.
It's
right.
really thick.
It looks like
it's a stew right now.
yeah, it looks like potato salad right there, but
and
really
then there's their marinara sauce
more.
Is great.
Spaghetti marinara, you know?
yeah.
That's my closest to good Italian,
yeah.
but
yeah.
mushroom rice pilaf over there, that is amazing. Creamy chicken flavored rice is unbelievable.
Yeah, so.
And I think over there is the broccoli,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's the broccoli rice.
Oh.
Yes. Broccoli cheese rice.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. And you
and
just.
All of these are Baker family tested.
Yes, yes.
they are.
They,
all of
they
them.
Are.
All of
they
them
are.
In
that's
this
amazing.
Bucket. And you get 60 different.
Yes, 60 meals with 13
meals.
Different varieties.
And
yes.
And it's all packaged for 30 years. Shelf life. I want everyone to order now because we're running out of time.
Yeah.
Right.
So call right now.
Yes, our number is 1-888-988-1588. You can call our toll-free number to place your order. You can order multiple buckets. Remember, you can also visit our website, jimbakershow.com as well, and you can place your order there.
And you know, the food offers, we've been able to, we couldn't even get the food for almost 2 years.
Right.
And now we're able to get the food, and we have a 1,000 buckets a month that we can ship out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to come on the air and tell you today that half of the buckets have already been spoken for this month.
Right.
Mm. But Nina got on the phone. She said, we've just had a run on food. And she said, the orders for this month are gone.
Wow.
They've
wow.
ordered all the food. But they said, you can, if you want to call, you can order next month and get in on that order.
Right.
Because if you don't get in on that order,
it's like a pre-order.
Then it'll be gone. I mean, it's going fast. And we're doing everything we can. We're begging for them to put us in line for more food. Because there's only about two companies that really produce 30-year shelf life food.
Right.
And not even that, hardly.
Yeah.
But there used to be multiple.
Mm-hmm.
And people, we could ship out thousands of buckets, and now it's so limited when we need it the most. So I'm urging you to order your food today.
Right. That's right.
While there's time, while we still have it, and while we'll be able to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever heard of food, and it comes in the bucket like this, and it comes in individual packets, so you can open it up, and they're all sealed, so you can open up, and they'll last and last and last.
Mm-hmm.
30-year shelf life, and you're going to love having something to eat.
That's right.
When there's no food to eat.
That's right. You
Believe
share it
me,
with others. You feed
it's
people.
It's a sad thing. You watch starvation of people in foreign countries, and you think, oh, how terrible it would be for our American people
yeah.
to not have food.
That's right.
And so this is one thing. We've been doing this for years, and I know people have laughed at me. They said, well, why would you do that? Well, I'll tell you what, because really dark days are coming. The days of the Lord, there's going to be some rough time. The Bible talks about the most severe time on the history of the earth. It's coming in the last days. So Let's be ready. Amen.
Amen.
So call me right now. Order your food. 1-888-988-1588. We have our special guest today.
Yes.
Dr. Cha.
And Dr. Che.
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 Okay.
Che.
I knew I would say it wrong.
Give me a prophetic name.
Forgives.
John.
John.
Yeah. John the Apostle.
Pastor Che, one of the greatest men of God in our time. Mm. And you've written so many amazing 15 books.
Yeah.
And this one is so timely. It's for right now. We need this like never before.
Che is spelled C-H-E.
Right.
With an accent on the E.
Yes.
Now you can do it.
So it's pronounced Che, right?
But you were saying, yes, Che. You were saying, Laurie?
You have in chapter one, the darkest hour precedes the great revival. And, you know, if I may, I'm just going to just read this little part to you. I have it all highlighted so I can see it good here. If the world around you is looking dark, just hold on, because God is on the move. The entire globe was hit hard by the year 2020. Young or old, poor or rich, we all have been going through a season of unparalleled shaking, uncertainty, and extreme darkness spreading across the nations of the earth. Some of the darkness and fear have been man-made. For example, politicizing and pandemic for leftist gain. But God, who rules over the earth, is using this pandemic for his glory. In the midst of the darkness, here is a promise that you can hold on to. The darkest hour always precedes the greatest light of revival. And that is exactly what this book is about.
Right.
You teach us about the past revivals. We have to go back, you
right.
said, to move forward.
Right.
Right?
Do you want to talk about that a minute?
Well, it's scriptural. You know, Isaiah 60, 1 through 3 says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come,
yes.
and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Darkness covers the earth, and then it goes into deep darkness over the people. But the Lord will rise
yes.
upon you, and his glory will appear before you. And then it says, nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawning." And so we know in the last days it will be darkness and light at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think, well, light will just overcome the darkness. But at the end of the day, Matthew 24, he will separate the sheep nations
That's
from the
it.
Goat nations,
right.
though there will be people who are lost.
That's right.
And they're goat nations. And so there are dark nations that are not going to turn to the Lord. And so we have to
wow.
realize that there's going to be a global shaking. So Haggai 2 puts it this way.
Mm-hmm.
Haggai 2, verse 7 says, "I'm going to shake all nations, and then they will come with the wealth of their nations. And I will fill this house with glory." It says something really interesting that he's going to shake every nation, and we've gone through it with the pandemic.
Yeah.
By the way, there are other times that, I should say during World War II, every nation was involved
right.
in World War II.
That what you said?
One way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, right after World War II, we had the greatest revivals of 48, the Voice of Healing revival,
right.
Oral Roberts started his ministry.
Yeah.
Branham was brought into prime attention with Gordon Lindsay. We see T.L. Osborne, all these healing evangelists. But then you have even Billy Graham, who's our hero,
yeah.
started in 48, 49.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you have what's called the Latter Rain Revival in Saskatchewan, Canada, North Battleford. And this revival breaks out. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the things that we take for granted today, like singing in the Spirit, personal prophecy,
right.
all that came out of the
right.
Latter Rain Revival.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the Hebrides Revival of 1948.
Mm-hmm.
Hebrides is a set of islands off of Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
And according to Duncan Campbell, he said on one island, Lewis Island, everyone got saved. So what does that look like?
Mm.
Every church building was filled to capacity four times every day. And here's the point, you could only go to one service a week.
Right.
And so where do you put everyone if, let's say everyone in Bronson got saved.
Right.
Or everyone in Pasadena. And that's why I think God's created stadiums, because we're going to move into stadium Christianity, because it's not just for soccer or football or baseball, but it's going to be for the church to gather together, because we're going to see a billion soul harvest. I really
yes.
believe that. But it's going to be darkness first. Why?
Yeah.
You know, C.S. Lewis said something very interesting in the book, The Problem of Pain. He said this, is that he whispers to us in our pleasure, but he shouts to us in our pain.
Yeah.
And what that means is that when things are going well, who cries out to God?
That's right.
But when you're suffering, when you don't have enough food to eat, you begin to cry out to God, God, if you're out there, reveal yourself to me. And so I believe that he's using the pandemic and the lockdown and the economic fallout as a result, as well as vaccine mandate and passport mandates and mask mandates. I mean, I just came back from Canada. You still can't fly into Canada without wearing a mask. And so there's still nations that are upholding these control mandates, and people are tired of it, and so they're crying out to God. And so whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So I believe we're going to see a great harvest in the midst of all this. But the other thing I want to just say about Second Haggai 2, verse 7, he says, and I will bring the wealth of the nations. In the midst of the shaking, God says he's going to bless his people. The wealth is coming to the church. Why? Because he knows we're going to steward it to fulfill the Great Commission, that we're going to do whatever we can to reach the poor, the needy, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Of course, we're going to preach the gospel of the kingdom, as Mondo said, that we can't compromise on that. And so, and the picture I have is really like the darkness before the light of the Exodus. I mean, think about it, 400 years of slavery. You talk about a dark time for the people of Israel. And then the 10 plagues hit. More shaking. Yet in the midst of this, then let my people go. And then they're released into freedom. And they experience glorious freedom, supernatural provision. Their clothes didn't wear out. Their sandals didn't wear out. They got manna during the daytime. They asked for meat. They got quail until it was coming out of their nostrils. You know, the Lord gives you what you want. But he provided for them. Not one feeble one among them. They didn't even get sick.
Not amazing.
So we see a picture of revival coming out of a dark time of slavery and plagues. So you see that throughout revival history, like the 1738 Great Awakening with George Whitefield and John Wesley. You know, that was a tremendous revival because that impacted the United States and brought the revival to the United States. And yet it was a dark time for Great Britain. Prior to that, the Black Plague had hit, what would be like our COVID, but it was a parasite, not a virus. But nevertheless, it devastated Europe. Hundreds of millions of people died through the Black Plague in Europe. And yet, also, morally, socially, gin had been invented 40 years before that revival broke out. It was called the gin age for Great Britain. So what's the big deal? The nation became alcoholics overnight.
Wow.
It was so cheap. It was cheaper than buying a beer. You could make gin in your home because of the agricultural revolution. People were making gin at home. So every fourth, fifth house was a gin house. And for the first time, women became alcoholics because the pubs were just for men. But now they're drinking at home. And all of a sudden, crime rate soars, unemployment soars, no one can function at work. And then these women sell themselves into prostitution. And they sell their daughters into prostitution, sex trafficking, just to support their alcoholism. It was very dark. You could not walk through London without getting robbed and beaten up. And so you see that period was so dark. And then Whitefield feels called to open air preach in Bristol to the coal miners getting off their night shift. They never went to church in their lives. They took a bath maybe once every week, maybe every 2 weeks. They didn't feel qualified to attend a church, even though they were part of a Anglican parish. And so he begins to preach, and initially it's like 300 people stand. The next day he goes out there, 1,000. The next day before, 20,000 are gathering to hear him. And when Wesley took over, because Whitefield had to go to America, Wesley writes in his prayer journal, you could see the tears wiping the coal dust from their face. People were falling under the power of the Holy Spirit. People were falling into, they were laughing hysterically because of the joy. It was like holy laughter broke out, which is nothing new. It's all Wesley's journal. And it was an amazing revival that saved Great Britain out of the gin age, ending slavery and slave trade, and also set the foundation for the American Revolutionary War. Whitefield was on the side of the American patriots. He taught about liberty. He was totally against the Stamp Act from King George, who was taxing us without any representation. And so he laid the foundation. He died in 1760. And of course, in 1776, we had the Declaration of Independence and our national holiday, and the Revolutionary War started, but it brought change. Thank God for the Great Awakening that impacted our nation. We would not be the nation that we are as a result of that.
You can order this book right now if you want to read more.
Really,
our time's getting away from the show
this
today.
Oh, man, so good, though.
And you write the three characteristics of history,
mm-hmm.
Revival, historic
yep.
revival. What
yes.
are the three characters of it? What are those?
Okay, very quickly. First characteristic of a historic revival is that the church gets revived. It
yes.
always begins with God's people.
Yes.
Again, 2 Chronicles 7:14,
yes.
of my people. But even 1 Peter 4:17, judgment begins in the house of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, harvest comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Welsh revival, 100,000 got saved within the first 6 months of that. The Jesus People movement, which I came to know the Lord,
mm-hmm.
many of us got saved during that.
Mm-hmm.
20 million globally came to know the Lord from 1967 to 1977.
Right.
Third is society is transformed. And that's like what happened with Wilberforce, ending the slave trade, for us, the founding of a nation, and also the 1857 prayer revival that led to the end of slavery in our nation, because mm-hmm. the people that were impacted all became abolitionists
yeah.
In the northern part of the United States.
Right.
So society is being transformed. And here's the good news. We've been contending for revival, and for the first time after 49 years, we see a sign of transformation with
You're
Roe
right.
v. Wade overturned.
You're right. We have
and
a sign.
And so it's not only that, but we see we can now fly the Christian flag in Boston. We can now have
That's
prayer
right.
back in school because of Coach Joe Kennedy, who knelt on the 50-yard line.
Yes.
All went to the Supreme Court.
All that
this
happened.
Has all happened since
yes.
Easter.
Right.
You know, and not only that, my friend Matt Staver sued a hospital in Illinois, in Chicago, that fired all these nurses and health care
oh, yeah.
workers.
Yes.
And he won a $10.5 million settlement on their behalf that
right.
you cannot fire someone with their religious conviction of not taking the vaccine, and especially these healthcare workers.
Yes.
Many of them already had the COVID, and they were
yeah,
immune
yeah,
to it,
exactly.
which
yes.
is God's natural way of giving us the antibodies.
That's
but,
right.
but unfortunately, the left is so egregious that it's totally canceling by firing people, and finally the Supreme Court stepped in and said that is totally unconstitutional.
Yes.
So we're seeing changes happening
we
right
are.
Before us.
We are in the
miracles
midst of the
in the
storm.
Midst of the storm is in
yeah.
and it's so dark.
Yeah.
But yet we're so thankful for the good things that are happening.
Amen.
Because God is greater than all the evil.
Yes.
And you must live for God. And the
Absolutely.
Only way you're going to make it is to know Christ is in your heart, that he is your Savior.
Yeah.
And he's going to give you the strength. And I know sometimes I think, oh, my Lord, I don't know if I can go on. I just hold on to him.
That's right.
I trust, delight, and commit. That's my big three that I love. But quickly, in my last question, in the last two parts of your book, and I want everybody to order this book right now, in the last parts of your book,
mm-hmm.
you give the conditions for
mm-hmm.
historic revival and global action steps.
Right.
Could you share some of those
well,
in the closing?
Yeah. The condition for revival is right there again in Book of Acts, in Acts 1:14. We see they're in the upper room, 120, they're praying.
Mm-hmm.
There's never been a historic revival without extraordinary prayer. And so we see 10 days in the upper room. They didn't know how long they were going to be there. Now we look back in history, it was 10 days. But they were there contending by praying. And so we see that in Acts 1:14. And second condition is unity. That word homothumadon, one accord,
mm-hmm.
is a very important Greek word. It appears 10 times the first 10 chapters of Acts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's homo, same, thumadon, passion, having the same passion, being like-minded.
Yeah.
And thank God that he's bringing his church together in the midst of the pandemic. You know, it's amazing how there are people, the church is awakening, and we're finding each other, and we need to unite, because I'll be honest with you, the Democrats are more united than Christians, you know, and they don't even like each other, but they have a common goal to make this nation a neo-Marxist nation, if I could be honest.
Yeah,
and yet
yeah.
we fight over Trump, we fight over issues, and I just feel like we need to come together, but the good news is that the church is uniting, and so D.L. Moody said God's never visited a divided church. So
yeah.
that great American evangelist. And
yes.
so we need unity. The third condition is radical obedience.
Yeah, I love that.
Because he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem.
That's right.
And sure enough, you know, he appeared to over 500.
Mm-hmm.
So where were the other 380?
Yeah.
Well, they had businesses, they had family to take care of. They're from Galilee, so they had to go back up to Galilee. Mm-hmm. But 120 radically obeyed. And I'll close with this one verse. So you know, the Acts 5:32 says, the Holy Spirit is given to those who obey him. Yeah. And so, you know, D.L. Moody was told, the world has yet to see what God would do through a person who's totally consecrated to him.
Yes.
And D.L. Moody said, I'll be that man. Mm-hmm. And I've said that all my life. I came to know the Lord in 1973 out of a drug problem, even though my dad was a Baptist pastor. And I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, and I have loved him for now 49 years. I love him as much today. And he's so blessed me. Four adult children, all love Jesus. Three of them are pastors.
That's awesome.
I've been married 43 years,
That's
and my
amazing.
Wife and I are best friends. So, 9 grandchildren.
Oh, I was going to ask, yeah, how many grandchildren?
So we're so blessed. God, yes. God will bless you if you give your heart to Jesus Christ and make him the Lord of your life and love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength.
That's it.
Amen. Thank you for coming all the way from California.
Well, you're my hero, Jim. Thank you so much.
We
love you so much. Thank you.
Thank you for coming. Yeah.
Boy, so people can visit your church in Pasadena?
Yeah, they're right there. We bought the Ambassador Auditorium. And if you just Google Ambassador Auditorium, you get a virtual tour of it. It's an outrageous building. There's 24 karat gold leaf on the ceiling.
Oh, my land.
The whole building wall is onyx, pure onyx, not marble. It's crazy.
Wow. So visit there in Pasadena, this great spirit-filled church. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. Don't forget, order the book today.
Right.
And just the story of how they came for that beautiful church to try to shut it down. And they rejected it. And they stood for God.
Thank
and, you know, the Bible talks about people getting their heads cut off in the Bible, you know, for serving God. Well, they threatened to close them out. And, you know, and if they would have put the fines on you like they did us, I mean, they just came and took our money out.
They could have bankrupted us.
They could have bankrupted our church.
I would be in jail right now.
Yeah.
By the way, for people to think, well, what's the big deal of the lockdown? Our state, 49 states had opened, and we were the 50th state to open church service only because we won the lawsuit. That's how extreme it was in California.
Thank you for doing it.
Well, yes, by God's grace.
You.
We give them all the glory.
Thank you for standing up.
Attorney and Matt Staver, who did a great job for us. So.
Oh, my. What a great honor to have this great, great man of God in our pulpit. This is, we have a big pulpit here. And we just want to thank him for being here from Pasadena, California.
Wow.
We have to go get close to God.
Yes.
Order his book today, and also be sure to order your food before it's too late. Just get some and put it away because it'll last 30 years on the shelf. God loves you. He really does. Bye-bye for today.
Bye-bye. We love you. Thank you, Pastor Chair.
Thank you so much. What an honor.
Thank you for watching today's program. We need your support now more than ever. Call us today, 1-888-988-1588. That number again is 1-888-988-1588. You can also write to The Jim Baker Show at P.O. Box 7330, Branson, Missouri 65615. Please make all checks payable to Jim Baker Show. Or you can make your donation and order of other products online at our website, jimbakershow.com. Thank you for your continued prayers and financial support. It's because of partners like you that we can continue to broadcast the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world.